Well, hello there. This is Lois W. Stern, your host for Tales to Inspire. And today my guest is Cami Ann Hofstadter. Cami, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Lois.
Hi, and welcome.
Thank you.
Cami, you wrote a story for Tales to Inspire that was titled A Leap of Words. Am I right?
That's right.
Okay. And to tell us a little bit, I know, but for those who are listening, without telling your story, could you tell us what motivated you to write this tale?
Yes. It was actually a longstanding fascination with people who proclaim to be, you know, non-believers, atheists. And then suddenly turned to prayers in a moment of need. And in my case, of course, it involved, I was engaged to be married to a Jewish fellow, and I am not Jewish myself. And when he was diagnosed with a terminal illness, and I became his caregiver, obviously, I was very, very intrigued by the fact that one night he wanted to pray, and the prayer that he chose was what I consider, and I always believed it was, but I may be wrong on that, the traditionally Christian prayer, Our Father who art in heaven.
That's right.
It so,
is a traditional Christian prayer.
I thought so, and I believe mm-hmm. that's true. So I never could figure out, or of course, if he did that to, so to say, please me, or if this was the thing that came to his mind at the time. But whatever it was, it gave him a lot of comfort.
Yes, and you know, from reading your tale, of course, I never knew Andy, but from reading your tale, I certainly got the feeling that he was a rather strong person, and I don't mean that in an unkind way, just a strong personality, and if he hadn't wanted it, he would have let you know.
You're so right on that. You could certainly use the word strong. He had been diagnosed as an obsessive compulsive. So you know how people of that condition are very set in their ways, and they like routine, they like rigid routines, and that's
right.
What gives them comfort. So,
mm-hmm. And yes. Very focused on what they want to focus on,
absolutely.
Not what somebody else wants to focus on necessarily.
Correct.
what message did you want to get across to your readers?
Well, I think, above all, that we as caregivers should be open to anything that gives pleasure to our charges, because it's so easy to fall in the mode of thinking, believing that you as a caregiver know better than your charge. And I must confess that I did have a fleeting moment where I thought, oh, he shouldn't be saying this prayer. If his family knows of this, they're going to think that I'm somehow trying to convert him or something. And, of course, that was not the case at all. That was his choice, and that's what gave him comfort.
Yes.
So my message to everybody would be to always keep an open mind.
I think that is a good thing to keep in mind with whatever we're doing in life,
yes.
Not just as caregivers, but in general, to keep an
absolutely.
Open mind in what we're doing. Yes. You talk at the end, you start at the beginning with your title, A Leap of Words, and you talk about parachuting,
mm-hmm.
and that was such an interesting analogy. Would you like to talk about that a little bit?
Well, it's sort of a funny incident, actually. When he was first, or where we were first given the death sentence, if you will, he was given between 4 and 6 months to live. And the charming neurosurgeon that became his physician said to him, and therefore to us too, of course, that now is the time to take up parachuting. And so it's always stayed with me as bit of a reminder for all of us in life, as a matter of fact. Maybe all of us should venture into doing some daring things before life is over, because if we don't do it while we're healthy, when are we going to do it?
Wow, that's another good message from your tale, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would
to
go
take
along
some
with
chances,
that.
To take some chances in life and do some of the things that you had maybe dreamed of doing or hoped you might do or just might give you pleasure.
Right.
I think that's a great message. It's interesting, Cammie, that you started your tale with the words the death sentence had
mm-hmm.
been handed down, and yet it was an uplifting tale. It wasn't a depressing tale at all, and that's pretty tricky to be able to do that.
Yes, but I think writers basically reflect the persons that we are, and I have always been able to see the positive things in life or in a dire situation. So even though I didn't think about it before until right this minute when you pointed it out to me, that certainly reflects who I am.
And I think that reflects, in general, the authors who contributed Tales to Inspire, because after all, we were looking for inspiring tales.
Absolutely.
So that appeals to a certain type of person, right?
Absolutely. I mean, if you are an overall negative person, why would you try to write an inspiring tale? I don't know.
Good point.
Maybe you could.
Could be. Point well taken, Cammie. Very good. Let's talk a little bit about Tales to Inspire. Would you? I'm always curious to know how authors found out about it to begin with.
How did
you find out?
Yes, for me, it came as a surprise. Most of us who are linked into various writing sites run across these, quote, competitions. But in my case, since I'm a member of the South Florida Writers Association, they had apparently had either found you or you found them, I don't know, and they circulated that particular event or that your competition to us members. And I don't know what prompted me to say to myself, oh, I am going to submit. Because I have never submitted before to anybody else.
Well, there was something about that particular project. I call it a project as well as a contest because it really is an authors helping authors project.
That's the part I liked.
Yes.
That whole concept of authors helping authors made a big difference in how I perceive the competition. And you have certainly lived up to that point, Lois, so a lot of kudos to you for that.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, it's been a joy, really been a joy for me to do this. A busy joy, I must say, but a joy at that. So that's interesting. You found out about it through the South Florida Writers Association. You're the first one who told me that, and I always like to know where the information is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you find the contest in general?
From what standpoint?
Well, from the standpoint of it was quite different from the standpoint of every author also being a judge, and that was important to me.
Yes. Because I didn't have any past experience with any competition, I really didn't have a basis for judging that particular part. I felt a little bit awkward judging other contestants' entries because I felt like I was, in essence, competing with them.
Oh, all right.
And I was hoping, of course, that that wouldn't cloud my own judgment.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I was probably the only one who had never, well, I don't know why should I jump to a conclusion like that, but I may have been the only one who had never submitted to any kind of contest before, so I didn't have any frame of reference really for.
Right, right.
But I certainly found the website very easy to maneuver, and I'm by no stretch of the imagination a techie. So
you've made that point to me a number of times, haven't you?
Yes. And you have been wonderful in helping me, Lois.
Well, good. I'm glad if I could do that a little bit. Do you know, one thing that I think any listener should know is that no author is competing, because every winner had to score within a certain range. It didn't matter if there were three people who were winners or six people who were winners. If they scored within a particular range, they were a winner. The same with the finalists. There was a different range of scores for finalists.
Yes.
And those who just received honorary, which still was a coup, right? So I wanted people to know it is not a competition in that sense. By scoring people with high scores, you're not diminishing your possibilities for...
Good point. And I don't think I fully appreciated it at the time that I served.
A few people told me that it strengthened their own writing skills by doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you felt that at all or not.
Definitely.
Okay.
I think that's a great way of improving our own skills by looking at... other pieces, anybody's piece, and trying to pick things apart and trying to define why something doesn't really sit well with you. So many times we can inherently say to or feel within ourselves that, you know, there's something wrong with this sentence. There's something wrong with this whole picture. But you can't exactly put your finger on it. I'm talking about things beyond... syntax and grammar and spelling,
sure.
Talking about the whole conceptual thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so the more we train ourselves to look for things like that, the better I think we can be as writers.
Oh, I totally agree. And that's why that piece was so important to me, because part of it, the purpose of part of this whole project was to strengthen our skills as writers. And I put myself into the same category, because after all, we're still all learning. And I hope we continue to do that.
Yes. Lifelong process, isn't
Lifelong. It absolutely is in many ways. Cami, is there anything else you'd like to share with the audience?
Well, anybody who liked my tale may be interested in knowing that I have been working on a memoir about that period in my life. I can't tell you when that particular book is going to be published, but I have certainly published a lot of other pieces on that or from that time in my life, particularly as it related to the... dealing with an obsessive compulsive person. So those pieces are out there, and the memoir will be upcoming at some point. But the more immediate news is that I have my book on that I call Consul, Counsel, or Consulette. It's a how-to book on how to socially interact with the foreign consuls among us.
Wow, that's an interesting topic, isn't it?
Well, I have some, I hope you'll find it interesting, Lois, and a lot of other people. I certainly have some nice advance reviews of this book, and I hope
Cami,
a lot of people will like it.
I wish you so much good luck going forward. And
thank
you. Before we end, I would like to say that I appreciate so much your efforts. You, every once in a while, I'll get a little email with you with some suggestion or advice or how you're going to share this Tales to Inspire project for the year coming in. And I really appreciate all that so much. So I wanted to say a thank you before we say goodbye.
Thank you, Lois, and all the best to you.
Thank you. Nice talking with you, Cami.
You too, Lois.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference.